Welcome to Bench Boost, presented by Ivy Ignite, Inorganic Ventures Virtual ICP Academy. I'm your host, Mike Booth, Technical Director here at Inorganic Ventures. At Ivy, we're passionate about all things ICP, sample prep, and analytical science, and we're here to share our passion and expertise with you. Each week, we'll bring you the latest insights, tips, and tricks from the brilliant minds of our laboratory team. Get ready to experience chemistry in a new light. Hello, everyone. Today, I'm joined by our technical support chemist, Ashley Jones, our stability assessment lab assistant, Madeline Hughes, and one of our production coordinators, Nick Plamel. We're going to complete a deep dive into one of our most popular resources, our ICP operations guide, written by our founder, Dr. Paul Gaines. Be sure to check out our previous episodes of Bench Boost to hear more of our team's thoughts on each chapter of the guide. Today, our team will be discussing Chapter 16 on traceability. If you would like to follow along with us, then you can view the ICP operations guide on our website, www.inorganicventures.com. All right, so traceability, this is the last topic of the ICP operations guide. I'm going to throw this out. Ashley, what are your thoughts on traceability and what does it mean?
Yeah, so traceability is something that we talk about a lot at Ivy, but I think sometimes it can be a little bit mystifying and people aren't really sure what exactly we're tracing and what we're tracing it to. So traceability is, in layman's terms, our ability to prove what we have done and what we have shown you against a standard. So we can take it back to something that the world has kind of agreed on is the base unit. So we'll talk about the International System of Units, or the SI, where we set up base units for, you know, standard measurements like meters, kilograms, seconds, all those kinds of things. So you know that a mile is a mile no matter where you are. That's because the world effectively has kind of agreed on them. That is the same thing for chemistry and for our products as well. So we kind of have a universal agreement on the mole and what that does for concentration and how we measure that. So if we don't have traceability, if we can't prove that, you know, we're measuring against this universal standard of the mole, then there's not really a great way to determine whether or not our product is reliable or whether it's useful. And therefore, that's going to affect whether your products or your testing is going to be reliable and useful. So that traceability just kind of helps us all to be in agreement about what we're working on and what we're talking about so that we're not all, you know, working from whatever we've decided our standard unit is.
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, something that's important to note about those base units is there's not one for volume, which I think is always kind of interesting. So when we talk in terms of concentration, we usually certify things as like micrograms per mil, you know, grams per liter, that sort of thing. We're really taking our traceability back to like the kilogram, you know, and all of those things. It's interesting that there's not one for volume, which it always sort of stood out to me as like, that's kind of weird, but
yeah,
you know, they don't have one for volume. They have one for mass, and that's what they use to sort of equilibrate between the two. Mm-hmm. Nick, I'm going to throw this over to you. So, you know, how do we maintain that traceability to the SI?
So what we're looking at here at IV is we just want to make sure that the chain of comparisons to the SI is unbroken. And what we mean by that is it starts all the way up at the top at the SI measurement or the standard itself, and everything can trace back to something else that eventually gets us back to that standard. So here at Inorganic Ventures, we tend to use starting materials or ampules that are actually bought from NIST. They actually do the hard work of setting up that first link in the chain. So they're going to certify all of the standards that they sell against that internationally recognized standard. From there, we can buy something from NIST that we can actually use as a standard to certify anything that we use or we sell in-house. So we can go ahead and make our stuff, test it versus the NIST standard. That's going to be traceable back to the SI itself. So there's, you know, two, three links in that chain. From time to time, we tend to have issues where NIST is not in stock or something like that. So we might add an extra link in by testing something against one of our own in-house lots just to make sure that chain remains unbroken. But that's really what we mean. It's just making sure that whatever you're testing your samples against was itself tested against something that may itself has been tested against something that traces all the way back to the international standard. The longer your chain gets, the more you're probably going to have uncertainties that are a lot higher. So the shorter that chain is, the better. That's why we tend to pride ourselves on testing something directly against a NIST standard here. So that way you've got like I said, about two or three links in that chain. And another thing that we like to do here at IV is actually make sure that we're testing the same thing to two different NIST whenever possible. So that way we can verify that the number that we've reached is a standard number that we're okay putting on our certificates based off of two different methods. And of course, there's a lot of statistics that goes into play with that as well. But that's what we mean when we're talking about an unbroken chain.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point that, you know, it touches a lot on the past couple weeks episodes of Bench Boost. You know, that shortening of that chain, having a really short chain, is going to help lower the uncertainty of your standard of comparison. So that's something where if you're trying to lower your uncertainty, you know, your baseline is your standard of comparison. If your standard of comparison is 5, 6, you know, different chains of comparison all the way back to the SI, there's going to be inherently more uncertainty in your baseline standard. And then, like you've mentioned, we certify usually against two different NIST SRMs. That's for, you know, improving our accuracy to make sure that there's not a systematic error in our ICP. But then we do an EDTA titration on something and we get a completely different number. We want to make sure that those numbers match and we have a good feeling about our accuracy as well, closer to that true value. If the listener is not familiar with NIST, that is a US-based National Metrology Institute. And these are located throughout the world. But NIST is actually, they generate a lot of the elemental SRMs, so the elemental concentration SRMs, that's actually used by a lot of other countries' NMIs to start with. So NIST has a very important role to play in traceability back to the SI in terms of elemental concentration. You can get other NMIs. I would recommend the Japanese NMI, Germany's NMI is good. If you're looking for things that NIST might not have, I would say try there. But if NIST is out of stock, there's a good chance a lot of the other NMIs are going to be out of stock as well. So that kind of brings me to the next subject. Maddie, I'm going to toss this over to you. We at Inorganic Ventures ran into an interesting conundrum when we were trying to achieve traceability to, like, for osmium and iridium.
Yeah, so when we were doing our elemental comparisons, we found that NIST doesn't make osmium or iridium SRMs. So Inorganic Ventures actually created what we call PCRMs, or primary certified reference materials, since there are no NMIs worldwide that actually have an equivalent. So the wonderful work of Madeline Ghazi, one of our R&D chemists, she basically makes our own certified reference materials of osmium, iridium, and she's currently working on ruthenium. But what she does is she traces the mass fraction of the elements in their salts directly back to the kilogram base unit of SI. So basically, we get a higher level of metrological traceability than SRMs. So it's really cool to see that the work of R&D actually does play a role in creating something for the world.
Yeah, that was something. It's a big project. It's definitely taken a lot of time to produce those materials, but I think it's something that we at Inorganic Ventures can provide to the wider analytical community, is providing this traceability for some of these elements where they didn't exist before. And it's something I think it's really cool to be a part of, to see those come to life and be available. So if you're working with those elements and you want traceability back to the SI, let us know. We can help you out with that. We sell the PCRMs, and all of our certified reference materials are now traceable back to the SI through the PCRMs. So it's really cool to see that being put into practice and use in our production facility.
I think it's a little bit important to note the difference in the initialisms that are being used as well, because you also see things like SRM, CRM, PCRM, like what is the difference between all of those things there? So just really quickly, the breakdown of the difference there is that SRM is a term that is controlled by NIST. They own it. That is their standard reference material. So that's basically their way of saying, hey, this was tested directly versus the SI. CRMs are a little bit more broadly used by labs like IV, where we'll test something against something that comes from an NMI. So that's a certified reference material saying that we certified it versus an SRM. But in this case, obviously, since we can't sell something as a SRM, we can now have the PCRM line, which is basically our equivalent to what NIST sells. So it's directly traceable to the SI. So we're, like I said, cutting out a link in that chain.
Yeah, I have a metaphor that I like to use when I'm speaking to new chemists or people that are new to the industry for the difference between an SRM and a CRM, because obviously we sell CRMs. We get a lot of questions about why can't I get an SRM from you? What is the difference? So like Nick said, the SRM is a registered trademark of NIST, but I like to think of them sort of in terms of textbooks. I'm sure all of our listeners are very aware and comfortable with the idea of writing research papers. So if you were writing a paper in a chemical sense here, a CRM would be, let's say, a textbook. So it's pretty reliable. It's pretty well verified. It's traced back somewhere. We got that information from somewhere. Versus an SRM, that would be more so like a primary source. So if your textbook says, we landed here on this date, you can go back to the primary source for someone who was there, wrote down, we landed here on this date. So you can still rely on the textbook. You still know that that information came from that primary source, and the SRM is just sort of our primary source. So if that makes it a little bit less confusing between the two, those SRMs are just, you know, there are our chemical primary sources, which again can get a little bit confusing with that PCRM product line. But yeah, that's effectively the difference. And we get so many questions about traceability and why we harp on it so much and why it's so important here. And kind of like I said, when we kick this episode off, you know, we want to make sure that we're all talking about the same thing. We're all talking about the same concentrations and the same method of determining those things. So if we're all sort of doing our own thing, if we're not in agreement for what our methods or our comparisons are, then we won't necessarily all be having the same discussions. We won't all be having the same results. And that's super important because, you know, we have customers, you all have experience testing things that really matter. Sort of like Maddie said, these are things that are going directly into the world and making an impact. So if you're testing food stuff or you're testing water, we want to make sure that what we're doing is accurate and reliable so that your products and your results are accurate and reliable too, because these things are super important. But it's also really important to know and to make the distinction that it's unfortunately sort of the responsibility of the end lab to verify the traceability. So we can put things on our certificate of analysis. We can have our own, you know, ISO certifications and things like that. We can report our traceability. But ultimately, you want to be sure that wherever you're getting your products, wherever you're getting certified reference materials, that you're vetting and verifying their traceability. And the way that they are proving that to you, I guess, would be the way that I would say it. So if you look at our certificate of analysis, we're going to have our testing methods and our SRMs, where applicable, listed. We try to give you all the information that we can so that you're confident in your traceability because you're tracing through us, right? So we want to make sure that you have absolutely all the information you possibly need. Our certificates of analysis are very robust. They're very long compared to some that I've seen in the industry because we're a customer of our own products as well, right? We want to have all that information available and we want to know that our work is just as valid as what we hope that your work is too. So that's my biggest recommendation for anybody out there, whether you're using our products or not, is just definitely look through certifications and testing and certificates of analysis and anything that you can get your hands on to make sure that your manufacturer is giving you what they say that they're giving you and to make sure that their traceability is valid. And like Nick said, you don't have a gigantic chain of comparisons because that's just going to compound your uncertainty. So definitely be careful who you're buying from and make sure that if you can't get the information from them that you're needing, maybe look elsewhere because it's too important to play around with.
Yeah, kind of piggybacking on that, like just in general, like the world needs to be on the same page with traceability because what comes to mind is back in 1999, the Mars Climate Orbiter crashed due to the commands being sent in a different unit than what everyone else is working with. And so, like, who knows what could happen if the world wasn't on the same page with chemicals? Mm-hmm. Like, things could go terribly wrong. Mm-hmm. So it's always, like Ashley said, it's very important to know what you're working with and where it came from.
Exactly. Well said. Yeah, I think it's very cool when you really think about how things boil down into just those, you know, seven base units of the SI. You know, technically our products are traceable back to the same SI as like the scale at the deli counter. It's kind of interesting how, you know, traceability can help make the world a little bit smaller sometimes when you think about it in those sorts of terms. But it's really important that those base units, everyone has the same idea of what those base units are. I will say if you are interested in learning more about traceability, there is a really good webinar under the technical videos section of the Inorganic Ventures website. It was talking about the PCRM product line that Maddie mentioned earlier. It was put on by Dr. Brian Alexander. So if you are interested, definitely check out that webinar. It was a really good source. And it goes in a little bit more detail about traceability at the SI level. And there are different groups, you know, talking about NMIs and the different groups that make up the SI as well, because it is a little complicated and the acronyms get a little hairy. So if you're interested, definitely check that out. But we hope you found this conversation helpful. If you have any questions, please contact us at ivyignite@inorganicventures.com. Ignite membership provides you with unlimited access to video courses, downloadable resources, community forums, and so much more. Join us next week as we begin to discuss the Inorganic Ventures Trace Analysis Guide. We'll hope you'll join us then and have a fantastic week. Thank you.